Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here, checking out the episode. If you're not already, hit that subscribe button. You're going to get new interviews just like this one sent your way every single week. Of course, it's Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and please do give the series a rating and a review wherever you're listening from. We've had some great guests here recently. Sasha Calle and Catalina Sandino Moreno were both here to talk about The Rip, starring alongside Ben Affleck and Matt Damon on the new Netflix movie. I was also visited by Peaky Blinders creator Steven Knight, along with actor Malachi Kirby, to talk about the second season of A Thousand Blows on Disney+. Nico Case dropped in to talk about her latest record, Midnight Gray, Neon Green. Amy Mann, Joe Henry, Karen Berkowitz, Walker Scobell, he stars as Percy Jackson in the Disney Plus series. Morgan Neville, documentarian behind Breakdown 1975 on Netflix. Emmy Lou Harris, Lori Morgan, Paul Feig, director of The Housemaid. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with Carney Wilson. You know her as one third of Wilson Phillips, daughter of Beach Boy Brian Wilson. And she's one of the honorees at the 2026 She Rocks Awards. So we're going to be talking about the full arc of her career going into that, from the monster success of Wilson Phillips and the harmonies that defined a generation to the overlooked gems like Shadows and Light, their second record, and the criminally underrated album they did after that one called The Wilsons, with her sister Wendy and dad Brian, which I'm sure rocked much harder than anyone expected at the time. Carney's going to open up about mental health advocacy, sobriety, grief, OCD, motherhood, why being honest has always mattered more than being polished. There's also plenty of love for studio life, unreleased vault material, yes, for the Christmas records, and the idea that history might finally catch up with the albums that slipped through the cracks the first time. All that and more as we talk She Rocks Awards. It's Kyle Meredith With Carney Wilson.
Hi, Kyle.
How are you?
I've got a very busy house today.
You got a new cat.
Oh, God. Oh, you saw?
Just a second ago, I checked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I haven't had a cat since I was, maybe 7 or 8 years old.
So this is.
Yeah, and I'm actually petrified.
I mean, they mostly take care of themselves, the cats.
I know. It's just that it's hard to explain. My household is like loud and crazy, and there's a million things happening every minute. We have this crazy pug, Frankie, and right now I was very concerned about this interview. And in fact, we might hear barking. He's next door here because I have tree people, pool people, gardeners, painters. It's really nuts right now. So the dog has been off the chain barking today. And I was going to take my laptop and go in my car, but I think we'll be okay.
We'll be fine. You know, if anything that the last 6 years has proven with Zoom rising the way it has is everybody has dogs, and we love when we hear or see them in interviews. So,
yeah, it's like we're home and we're just talking, right? Yep. That's yep.
It. Well, let's roll right into this then. Because I know one of the big things we're talking about is you're being honored in the She Rocks Awards, 14th year for the She Rocks Award. So congratulations first.
Thank you. I know. I'm very excited. I'm actually really nervous about it. You know, I'm pretty humble, you know, and so I'm actually kind of like embarrassed. I guess it's just like a weird thing, like therapy. Like, do I really deserve something like this? It's layered, you know, that kind of thing. But I'm embracing it, and I'm proud, and I'm really happy. And my family will be there: my kids, my husband, my mom, her husband, my stepdad. It's nice. It's going to be great. And I'm with amazing company, really great women. You know, I don't know all of them, but I know some of them. And it's like, I think we all share sort of like that. We're driven. It's not that we want to make an imprint, but we want to influence, especially women, to just, you know, that they don't have to hold back any of their like desires or like, you know, goals, you know, that we can do whatever the fuck we want, you know?
You've been such a voice for that for, I think, your entire career. I mean, obviously we got to know you, you know, with the music and Wilson Phillips, but everything that came after that, you know, as I started to think about before we talked about, like that's everything that comes to mind. And I think in the past handful of years, you've talked a lot about what I'm looking at my list here, mental health, sobriety, women's wellness. Like, this has always been part of your conversation, right?
Absolutely. I've been an open book. I mean, I've written books, you know, but it's I don't know. There's just something kind of in me that it's hard for me to keep anything inside, really. That's what it comes down to. So like, I have to release, you know, creativity. I have to release feelings. I have to release, you know, emotions. And then there's that artistic side of me that loves to create too, you know, and that's come through in music and, you know, cooking and baking and being a mom and just kind of taking on anything that I really want to do. But it doesn't mean that like I haven't had like really big challenges, you know. So being really open about all of it, whatever I'm going through, I always say like I am where I am when I'm there. I know that's weird. If that's really dumb, maybe it sounds dumb. But
wherever
like
you go, there you are.
There you are. Exactly. Same thing. So it's like I think, where are my feet? You know, because it can be very complicated to say, where's my head at right now? Well, Jesus, hour to hour, something can happen in this world because life is in session that will like change or alter your perception with stuff. You know what I mean? So like I go, where are my feet right now? And then let my head follow because my head gets crazy. You know, my alcoholism, my, you know, all my anxiety and my OCD, this is where it lives. You know, because my heart is good. We know most of our hearts are good, but it's just like, I try, my motto's always been one day at a time. And I think I've lived that way even before I got sober, you know.
Which I was thinking back, you know, the idea of talking about mental health in music has changed so much. And I said more than music, in entertainment, in just public awareness, I guess. I was remembering a interview I did with Ann Wilson of Heart, and she was like, you know, in the 70s, we didn't say that at all. We just drank through it. Yes. You know, you weren't allowed to. And even in the 90s, you know, when you were breaking out, like people were starting to figure it out, but the conversation wasn't exactly there. And maybe in the past, what, 10 or 15 years? Like, that's my perception. You've been on the front end of that. Is that sort of the trajectory that you've seen?
Yeah, for sure. Things have really changed, you know? And I think even since 2020, when COVID happened, I think since then, it's even like, we've gone like more in the fast lane about almost, I think, hopefully we're trying to erase the stigma around mental health, because there is that sort of that stigma and that sort of like negative cloud that just like, I think it's all fear-based. That's my opinion. I think when people don't want to talk about mental health, or they, you know, they avoid it or whatever, or they spin it in another way. Sorry for the dings. I'm getting texts. I think when people like, when they try to avoid talking about mental health, it's the underlying feeling or probably is probably fear, because we either know someone that's struggling and it hurts to see them struggle, or we're struggling ourselves, but we don't know how to say it and, you know, or ask for help. So like, we can't, the brain is so freaking complex that like, no matter how much research we do, and I'm not a doctor or whatever, but it's like, we can sit there and like analyze and, you know, all these doctors and all the books written, all the research and all the data and all that stuff. It just comes down to like, we're humans and we feel shit and we feel stuff and we have to deal with it on a daily basis. And some people are wired a little different and like, they don't get enough dopamine or their serotonin, something's not connecting and they need more help. And it's like, I've always felt like, don't ever be ashamed to say, you know, I either feel different or I know I'm different or whatever. And if I'm feeling less than or anxious or sad and I don't know why, you know, it's okay to look into it and get help. So like, that's been my, this last year, you know, since I started a new campaign, you know, with Neurocrine Biosciences. I'm a paid spokesperson for them, but I'm a mental health advocate for the rest of my life, because I've always shared about it. So like, if it's postpartum, if it's anxiety, I mean, I have terrible OCD. I don't know if anyone knows that, but like, you know, like stupid things, or not stupid things, but silly things. Like when I take my toilet paper roll, I count 1, 2, 3, 4. I have OCD. So like, it's okay. I know I have it. And, you know, some days I wake up and I'm like, yay, let's go get the day. And some days I wake up and I'm like, God, I don't want to get out of bed. I just want to stay under the covers. So, you know, the other thing I've been really paying attention to the last year is that when my dad passed away, I felt so much sadness that I've never experienced before. So it brought me to like this very, not a dark place, but a sad, sad place. And I think there's a difference between that really hardcore depression where people feel like, I don't want to be here anymore. That's so, so heavy duty and hardcore. I didn't feel that, but I felt such sadness, like a hole like I've never felt. So I thought, you know, this is, it's unbelievably perfect that this is the year that I signed on to start this Connecting with Carney campaign to talk about mental health and a condition that is associated with taking those antipsychotics called TD. And tardive dyskinesia is a different conversation, but it is actually under the same umbrella, because it all starts with mental health. So I think that from this point forward, that's going to be in the forefront, because as we get older, time is more precious. We want to make the most of things. We have more boundaries. We have, you know, less tolerance. We, you know, we know what we want. And that's a positive thing. That's a positive thing.
And we'll be right back right after this.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Assisted customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Carney Wilson.
And my guess, even from the tone that you're saying this has been the helpful thing to bring you out of that darker place that you were in.
Big time. Because I've always worn my heart right here, you know, and like, you know, people know what I've going through. And that started with music, writing about young love. And then it went to, you know, postpartum depression, to drug addiction, alcohol addiction, motherhood, weight, you know, I mean, God, it's been an open book. But that's cool because I feel very blessed. I met a wonderful man who is, you know, who shares a love of music. He's funny. He's smart. He's patient with me because I'm a handful. You know, I'm really controlling, like really micromanaging, and it drives him freaking crazy. But, you know, he's like a jazz musician. So he's always in his head. He's always playing the guitar. He's got 50 notes in his head, you know, but like, it's good because we balance each other out. And I have two great kids, and they make me want to be a better person, you know, and guide for them, you know, because when you have kids, and not everyone feels this way, but like, they're my life, you know, I would do anything for them. So they see me fail, they see me yell, they see me make mistakes, they see me fuck up every day. But like, to just like, talk openly with them and laugh and sing and share stuff, ups and downs, is what it's all about.
Do you and your guy, do you write together?
We have, yeah. But we start fighting. The minute we start fighting.
Whenever we go, opinions.
It's so totally. It's so funny. We kind of gave up the writing together, and also Rob is more of a solo writer. He does collaborate. He is a great co-writer, and he has written some nice he's co-written some great songs. But he's better on his own, and I like to collaborate. But when we go in the studio, I mean, he's produced Wilson Phillips records. I mean, he's really, really gifted. We just, oh my God, he gets impatient. And then I tend to take a long time with my vocals. I'm not a quick, you know, I'm not quick in the studio. And I think he gets impatient with me. So we start fighting and it just gets funny. It just gets funny because we're just like, oh my God.
I'm almost surprised by that because your vocals do sound really natural.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of like taking a selfie. If you can compare that, it's like, it's kind of like a lot of tries. And then I get the one where I'm like, okay, you know, my nose doesn't look too big, or my, you know, you can't see the hair on my chin or whatever the hell it is, you know? So we try, but I honestly, I'm just getting so less and less, I just care less and less about that stuff. And I mean, I still do, you know, you want to look presentable, you know, and I have makeup on today for this interview and I'm going to a party tonight, you know, so I paint a face and you feel good, but you know, it doesn't define anyone. I don't think so. You know, it depends on where you live too. I live in LA where everyone's like, it's like plasticky and Hollywood and, you know, your cars you drive. And Rob and I have really talked about, and we're very serious about moving to Pennsylvania to like, wow, New Hope. Yeah. We looked at property in New Hope and we just fell in love with it. And it's like, you know, when you go there, you feel like this big brick off your shoulders and you feel like you don't want to pay attention to stuff like that. You're just appreciating the nature. And, you know, my dream would be like retiring from everything. Well, not everything, but sort of just chilling out a little more and like open a bakery, you know, in the town of Newtown or New Hope. And really, I mean, that's my passion and my love.
I mean, how on the nose about New Hope, you know, that's just screaming at you right there.
It is.
And we've heard about, you know, that side of it, but what does that mean for music these days? I mean, you know, I know there's the career that can always be there, right? Like Wilson Phillips does shows every now and then still.
Yes, of course.
And that can be like, I know that can be there because if nothing else, it's a money generator, but it's a connection to fans and all of that stuff. But like, how much of that in your life right now is actually a driving force, the music side?
Well, it's I would say it's a good, you know, 30% or 40% of my schedule is going out and doing a show, because it's basically one show a month. So, I mean, it fluctuates anywhere from like 7 to 14 shows a year, but it just depends. You know, sometimes these private gigs come in, like next year we're going to Necker Island for a private gig, you know, and then we're doing different like track shows or band shows, or there's festivals and fairs, and the casinos are always great. We just got a gig with Richard Marx, you know, at Thunder Valley Casino in Sacramento. We've played there 4 times already. So it's like, that is such a great joy. I mean, 10 days after Dad passed away, we were on the stage and we decided to do that show because we thought, you know, he would want us to do it. And we cried the entire show, and so did the audience. I'll never, ever forget it. It was actually one of the smallest venues that we played in a long time. And I think it happened that way naturally because everybody stood up the whole time. And nobody had a dry eye. We were all, especially when we did all the Beach Boys songs. Oh my God. But, you know, so I hope it remains a good chunk of my life forever. And I think it's something we can do forever. And as long as the fans want to come see us, then we will be there. And I think the music, I think our songs are about love usually, and the harmonies are beautiful. And I think we sound pretty good. You know, we sing live. We have a funny show. There's a lot of funny banter. We're lifelong friends, and it's my sister too. So it's entertaining. So as long as they come, we'll be there.
And you all keep it interesting. Like, I was looking at some of the set lists, and I think I was surprised how often you all switch up the set lists. I mean, sometimes show by show by show. And I only say that because when you're talking about once a month or something, like, I would think it feels like restarting the machine every single time in a way like that.
Maybe. Yeah. But when you do it for like 16 years, like we've been doing it now, when we kind of reunited and got back into doing dates, doing concerts, it's pretty automatic. And, you know, it's when you're in a group, it's like there's 3 of us, we all have to agree. I'm always the one that wants to put fresh music in. I want to get more music from Shadows and Light, our second album. I want to do like more, you know, obscure songs or you know, the B-sides. And my bandmates just give me shit for it. They just don't want to do it. So it's like, I get so annoyed. You know, I'm like, can't we just... So we have songs that we alternate depending on the venue, depending on the set length. But I think it's good to keep it fresh. We'll always do the hits. We'll always do some of the Beach Boys and Mamas and Papas. We enjoy it, and so does the audience. And it depends on who's coming to the show. I mean, that's what's kind of cool, too. We have the sort of the bridesmaids, younger crowd that come, that are like really big, hold on. And then you've got the other people who've been fans for a long time that really know all the material and sing every word to Release Me and You're in Love and Impulsive and Dream Is Still Alive. I mean, and You Won't See Me Cry. They know these songs. So it depends on the venue and who's in the audience.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Carney Wilson.
Because you're right. With Shadows and Light, because they're like, I hear you, and all the way from New York. And then I had not listened to the Wilsons album until this week.
Oh my God.
And I go and listen to that. And Carney, let me tell you.
My God.
I'm going to paraphrase your dad, right?
Yeah.
When I say that's not a good record, that's a great record.
Thank you.
It's so... Like, there are moments when especially in this late 90s more rock sound, like hearing you guys rock, I mean, I'm thinking like Juliana Hatfield and Liz Phair. There's a little bit of late Susanna Hoffs in there.
Yes.
Carole King writing for it, you know. It's like, what an incredible album this is.
Isn't it? Thank you. And isn't it sad that, you know, it just, these artists, we, you know, we put our, pour our hearts and souls into it. We venture out, you know, we have a song on there called I Hate Your Face. And it's a really cool record about past lives. And like, you would never know that. And like, you know, we worked with great people, Dave Stewart, our father, Cliff Magnus, a great writer, you know, and like, nobody heard it. And I think it's some of our best work. I mean, that album is so special to me. And I'm, you know, I think we did I Hate Your Face in concert once or twice. We did a beautiful song called Not Your Average Girl. I want to do more of the Wilsons live. And we do Monday Without You, the Carole King song that she co-wrote. And that's a lot of fun. And sometimes Al Jardine picks up some of the parts that our dad sang, you know, but we made a video for that song. And we even, I remember when that came out, when the album came out, we went on Rosie O'Donnell's talk show, you know, and we sang that song. We made an adorable music video with our dad. And so these are really treasured memories, not just because we worked with our father. That was amazing. And, you know, that was the first time I ever got to write with him. And that album is special for many reasons.
Yeah, it needs a big spotlight put on it right now. Because, you know, things get lost in the moment, right? And then history kind of brings the stuff back to the top, the stuff that we might have missed. I mean, that happens all the time.
It does.
Critical evaluation, et cetera, like somebody, and let me be a part of that with this interview too, because people really need to go back and check this out and, you know, get a record label to remaster it and, you know, dig out whatever's in the vault and, you know, upcoming 30th anniversary. Right.
Listen, you're right. And you just never know. You never know. I mean, I'm always thinking like that, you know, I'll be watching, you know, a TV show and a commercial come on. And I'll be like, you know, I feel like there's a song called Good About You that's, and there's a chorus and it says, I want to wear black because it makes me feel good. I want to be brave because I know that I should, and I want to feel good about you. And I swear to God, I hear it on a Target commercial. I've always heard this chorus for a Target commercial, and I don't know why. So like, that's part of like, that brings us back to the beginning of the interview, like where like, If you have an instinct about something, you know, there's no reason why you can't follow through with an idea, and you just never know what will happen.
With a record like that, maybe this goes with all your kids, like, do you all own the master? Like, is that, does someone own that, or is that you all?
Yeah. I mean, I'd have to go dig back for that one. That was a PolyGram record, and I think she's just sitting dormant there. I don't even know. I'd have to go see. And after a certain amount of years, the publishing comes back if no one's on that. I mean, that takes a little bit of digging, and you know, things have changed now. Labels have, you know, merged together. So I don't know, but I think it might be worth looking into. And then, you know, you have like Wendy on my Christmas album, Hey Santa, that they play every year and is one of my favorite Christmas albums. That thing cost almost $1 million to make. We had real strings, we had the orchestra, we had killer players on there, all the best players, you know, and it was an SBK release. And when Charles Cobham was alive, he was like, you know, we're going to make this a great Christmas record. And Wendy and I wrote that song with this guy, Jack Kugel, who wrote a song for Martina McBride. And like, it's a great record. Uncle Carl sang on it. Beach Boy Carl Wilson sang on it. And I'm just so proud of that record too. That's a great Christmas record. I'm very proud of the work that I've done, you know?
As you should be, as people are awarding you for in this year. I mean, there's a reason for this.
I know. I know. It's just kind of like, I just do what I do because I love what I do. And then like getting an award is lovely, but you know, it's, yeah.
Is there much in the vault? Unreleased stuff?
Oh, there's stuff in the vault. Yes. When we got back together, the three of us, China and Wendy and I, we spent like, I'm going to say about 4 years or maybe 3 years writing songs with a bunch of writers, everyone from and their names are like escaping me, but like some of the New Kids on the Block co-writers, NSYNC writers, who wrote the God song? What if God was one of us? One of us. I was at Mark or shit.
Oh yeah, yeah, with Joan.
I forgot his name.
Right, I knew that one time as well.
Right. I know. So we forget everything now, but like we wrote with a bunch of great writers. Our managers were like, let's get you guys together with great writers and see what comes out of it. And we did write some killer songs. And I have cassettes, I have CDs, I have all of them. And I think there's some hit records there, but even if we weren't even thinking like that, just a compilation of them and making another record, I'm still pushing for us to make another record. I'm still doing it. And our favorite place to be is in the studio. We like the stage, but the best place is the studio.
It would seem like if the best place and the favorite place to be is the studio, why is it so hard?
Because like 9 children between us, we don't live in the same place. You know, China goes back and forth, LA, Santa Barbara, Wendy's here, with me, but it's just like, and I'm usually doing 5 jobs at once. So doing a record, it's a big commitment to write. It's a big commitment to record. Who's going to do it? You know, we've talked about, we've come close to signing new record deals. We did with Sony. We did make a record, some years ago, with our parents' music and a Christmas album. But Jesus, the last time we released a record, it was 2011 or 2014, something like that. So it's time.
Well, like I said, even if it's just in the meantime, digging into that vault and saying, well, here's a compilation of unreleased stuff. I think a lot of fans would be into that. I love that stuff. And there's forgiveness in that too. If you say, oh, these are demos, you're like, okay, these are demos, usually expectations are exceeded anyway. You're like, that sounds way better. It's a reason why demo-itis exists. We hear the song and was like, that's perfect. And the artist goes, it's not done yet. And we're like, no, it's perfect.
Oh, I know. And I think of like all the, we can compare ourselves to Whitney Houston, but like, I Will Always Love You, I think that was the demo that they did, and I know there are many artists. I mean, Michael Jackson was famous for just doing mix after mix after mix. And I know this for a fact because Glenn Ballard, who co-wrote Man in the Mirror, told us how he recorded. I'm very obsessed with Michael Jackson's music. I always have been really obsessed with every album, every record. And his tracks like blow my mind, and his musicality and the way he sang and the way he wrote and the production of it, I think is just incredible. So I was very curious about that. And I asked those questions. How did he work like that? And Glenn would say to me, you have no idea. That's why it was 2 or 3 years between records. And he would sit there and he would have like 19 mixes for each song, because in one song, the snaps were louder. In one song, the horns were louder. In one song, he had weird humming that he did. And when he would slap his leg, for different percussion sounds. I mean, he was incredibly musical. So, I love it when sometimes your best take is your first.
Sure, sure. And to co-sign on that too, it must have worked because nobody can touch that, those songs. Like nobody's been able to hit that,
I've listened to Billie Jean like 5,000 fucking times, and I just can't believe just the way that bass is and the way it starts and just that the groove of it and the way the strings come in. I don't know.
Props to Quincy, for all of his help through some of that as well. So.
Oh my God, of course. And I'll never forget when he did a song, what was that, Garden or something, My Secret Garden or something like that. He brought us, we were recording, I think it was Shadows and Light, and he was in the same studio in another, another room. And Glenn was friends with him because he worked with him on Man in the Mirror. And so he was like, do you want to come and hear what I'm working on? I was dying. So he went in, and I'm telling you that it was the loudest playback. So in the studio, when he would say, okay, listen to this. he'd press play and you'd have these big speakers. Sometimes the producers or mixers would play you on the board. There'd be two speakers up here and they're smaller. And then there's the bigger ones in the room. He had both blasting and it was like the loudest thing. You almost had to plug your ears. And that's the way he liked to listen to it. And it was crazy, but we heard this and it was a song with Syeda Garrett, who I love. And it was, I'll never forget watching Quincy like in action. Uh-huh. It was best.
I bet. I mean, when you talk about musical minds, you know, what that guy was capable of. And then sticking with Michael and two musical minds, and then you get, you know, the greatest stuff of the 80s and, you know, the 70s as well. So
yeah.
Insane. Yeah, I'm right there with you on that one. Let me bring it back really quick again to congratulate you, though, on all of your accomplishments, because seriously, much like myself, you have been part of the soundtrack to very important moments of all of our lives. And that's certainly of mine. And I certainly appreciate that. So all deserved praise your way for what's coming.
You're so sweet. Thank you. Thank you. I'm grateful. Got to stay humble, man. Got to stay humble, you know. It's a gift. It's all a blessing.
It's certainly a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Kyle. You're a doll. I look forward to another interview one day.
We'll do it again soon. I can't wait till we're talking about the Vault stuff and the new Wilson Phillips album.
Yes, yes. All right.
All right.
Be well. Take care, darling.
And my thanks to Carney and to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here to keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. Again, you can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And please do give the series a rating and leave a review wherever you're listening from. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. So I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music and bonus interviews and lots of music news. One of my recent shows features some classics and favorites from The Who, Elton John, J.J. Cale, Tyler Ballgame, The Thrills, Bob Marley, Nina Simone, The Cranberries, Slint, Gotta Buy Voices, Sampa the Great, Karen O of the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Sunvolt, Valerie June, Damian Jurado, The Boomtown Rats, Kate Bush, and my interviews with Susanna Hoffs, Cat Power, Kula Shaker, and Robbie Krieger of The Doors. That's what you can hear weeknights starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always at Kyle Meredith. Please do like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.